He's shooting down frequencies like you won't believe, Will. They shouted through the phone. You gotta come down here. I was like, chill, boss. Next week, we'll be back to normal. Hello and welcome back to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 141. I'm the host this week, Will Wilson, and with me is John Jordan.
Why are you doing a little stutter now? Is that some,
he's the man.
Some demeaning thing?
How are you? I'm all right.
After your holiday.
Yeah, it was nice.
And there's a lot of these holidays going around at the moment. I wonder where Keith is. Oh, he's on holiday. Yeah, that's very right for
work. He wasn't lying on a beach with two very beautiful women in bikinis, though, like I was.
No, no. Okay. I'm not sure where to go with that metaphor, but I'm sure he wasn't, and I'm sure,
metaphor?
I'm sure you weren't either.
No, I was in Cambridge. It was nice. Nice and relaxing.
Everyone's been on holiday, haven't they? I mean, it's just like this week is America's been on holiday. America doesn't get many holidays.
They don't. They had a Labor Day, which is the most ironic holiday in the calendar, because no one goes to work. But the news has actually been affected by it, because a lot of the news comes out of America, so our news stories are a little bit thinner than normal. Same with the new releases this week. Bad news. You know the Sonic and Sega adverts I was doing with my funny voices for about 2 months. We have a new advert. Apparently they didn't put off any other advertisers. but these ones are pre-recorded, so I can't do funny voice. I have listen to them before we've gone on air. They're not too bad. They're quite good, actually. It sounds a little bit like me doing a funny voice, only it's by someone else. But there's a really obvious edit in the second version of it. Yeah, there's two per episode. So I'm going to play this now to get it out of the way, and then we'll move on to the news.
Ah, the Middle Ages. Harking back to yore. A time of honor. Chivalry and brutal gladiatorial combat. Compete for honor and glory in the old tournament upon thy trusted steed. Beseech thine enemies to compete with thee. Boasting Bluetooth-enabled multiplayer, thou canst put thy friends to the sword as well. I did.
Seek out Nighty Knight, Knight in the medieval armor-clad sense, with the App Store.
Yeah, so there we go, yeah. Well, you know, having adverts in the podcast isn't, of course, ideal, but still it allows me to buy bread and cheese.
So and cheese?
Well, on Sundays. It's my Sunday lunch, John. So, yes, let's crack on. Let's go on the news.
News!
What's up in the news this week? Well, my friend, there are in the news this week, we have an Apple iPhone 5 rumor. You know, we haven't had one of these for months.
Starting to gather pace, aren't they now?
They are, but I'm refusing to put them in the podcast. But I have put this one in the podcast, because the rest of the news is quite thin on the ground. So, yes, we've got another rumor. The latest date for the Apple iPhone 5 is October the 21st. Again, another specific day. Friday, the 21st of October, to be exact. And it's a Best Buy schedule given to a 9-to-5 Mac.
It's quite a long way away, isn't it?
Yes. Is it likely? Well, I guess everyone's now decided September probably isn't on.
But Apple have always been very good at just, you know, doing stuff quite fast, haven't they? Once they have a press conference, you kind of know, you know, it's, it might be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you never put past them to do something very much quicker.
Yeah, you can't put it past him. I think in about a week's time, all the rumours will then move to October. Because it'll be like, oh, 2 weeks left in September. Well, we'll be hedging our bets a bit now. But they, I mean, like they were saying August, then it was September, now they're saying October.
Because you've not, it's kind of weird that because you say these rumours have the dates rolled back, but it's not like the you know the kind of the white iPhone where they kind of where you kind of have an idea that there's a technical problem. No one's you're not hearing anything from suppliers that oh there's a you know you're not hearing anything really. Are you? You're not hearing anything to say oh it's delayed or anything.
What I think is quite funny, and I think this is an indication of how tight-lipped Apple are in general, though, was that I remember seeing at the weekend while I was off on holiday, phone shops have started like being quite aggressive with the pricing of the iPhone 4, because normally it's the premium smartphone. I mean, you can't really get much more expensive than it. But now they're starting to give it away for free on like £35 per month contracts, which is the same level as the Galaxy S2. Mm. So which suggests that the retailers are trying to get out the stock before the new one arrives. But at the same time, these rumors are now saying all October. So even they don't seem to really know. They just sort of know that it must be coming out soon. So let's start doing a little bit more aggressive pricing on it. But yeah, it's all up in the air. No one really knows.
A few things happening at the end of September, aren't there? There's a big Facebook thing as well, which is people think there's Facebook Spartan HTML5 platform, which people think is going to be quite heavily linked into Apple stuff as well. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't rule out. I say 21st of October seems quite a long way away for me.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Well, yeah. So there we go. Good deals on iPhone 4s at the moment, though, if you're in the UK. Or at least there was last weekend. I don't know if it was time limited.
Well, some people started taking bookings for iPhone 5 already.
Yes.
Deutsche Telekom started.
Yeah, that's it. In Germany,
taking
the
money.
Yeah, that's just.
Well, if it's fine, people want to give them their money. Yeah. Something that's not been announced yet.
Also, of course, we can't tell you anything about the specs because no one knows. Let's make something up. It'll be tri-core. Okay, like a tricorder.
Well, a bit is now all the rumours about specs have all moved to iPad 3, haven't they? Just been having loads of like every day now. There's like a new.
Oh, actually, that reminds
me. Rumour was the battery today, wasn't it? The battery's going to be going to be thinner and more powerful.
Yeah, the iPhone 3 rumours have started, so that's.
They've been going for a while though, because they've been bubbling
under
the screen, haven't they? The Retina screen and.
Oh, they were the same ones that were there on the iPad 2 though. Retina screen. It's got to have an AMOLED display. Stuff like this. Yeah, that one was. Anyway, iPad 3 rumors to start up as well. Oh well, beginning to pick up.
And there is actually another create. I mean, this is a less device heavy rumor, but an analyst, like one of those analysts, actually he's a relatively well known guy. He's just predicted Apple's sales figures for 2013, which is obviously a bit way off, but. I mean, the numbers kind of are so big now, they don't really make any sense. So currently, Apple's turnover in 2010 financial year was $65 billion, which is just obviously enormous anyway, because it's Apple. He's now predicting in three years on from that, it's going to be 164, which is just absolutely.
What?
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he's just, I don't know him.
It sounds almost a little bit like, I haven't done the maths in my head, but it sounds like he's tripled it.
No, he's not quite tripled it, but yeah.
Not quite. He's just reduced a few billion for like.
But I mean, these analysts, to be fair, they do have like models, and he's kind of if you read what he's written, he's kind of assumed a certain amount of sales for iPad and a certain amount of sales for iPhone and what they're going to cost each, and so it's not like he's just plucked a figure out of the air. But the really weird thing is obviously these analysts do these things partly to get kind of notoriety or kind of profile, but they actually make their money by selling reports to kind of big companies and kind of investors and stuff. So the interesting thing is what they normally is important for those people is what they think their target for the share price is. So Apple's share price, obviously it's kind of the biggest company in the world on market capitalization, or kind of off and on, it keeps kind of swapping with
that oil company, isn't it? Yeah.
It depends on the price of oil, obviously, but now so it's currently about $380 per share. They're now their 12-month target is over $600 a share. It's just like unbelievable. Which you know, if they did hit that amount of sales, and that's assuming they're going to sell 100 million iOS devices a year, which is, I don't know. I mean, when it gets to that stage, it's beyond what I can really comprehend, it seems. Anyway.
Well, talking of beyond comprehension, Sonic is celebrating his 20th anniversary. We all know that because of the advert. Jeez, that text is sort of burned into my brain now. Anyway, he is celebrating. It's still the same year. And there is a new, like a sort of iPhone companion app to help you celebrate with him. Not sure why Sega have done this. It's got a cannibal-esque Sonic the Sketch Hog. Huh? Sonic the Sketch, it's like, anyway. Yeah, which, who played that? I think Mark played it, said it was a bit pants. And also a light version of Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 1, which has been out for almost a year now.
Well, the light version has.
Not the light version, no, that's unique to this app, but I'm in the full game. Apparently the light version lasts about 20 seconds.
Well, actually, as it happens, I was just talking to Sega literally an hour ago.
Literally
an hour ago. So yeah, so I was talking to them actually about the All Star Racing, because for our biz site, I was talking to them about how they'd done their marketing campaign, because they were doing like a test marketing campaign, and obviously the issue is it's quite hard to market something if you're taking people to a paid game, whereas if you're just going hit this banner to download this free app, you can do it quite easily. So I think it seems that Sega are doing quite a lot now of releasing light games for their paid games, because they can get someone to download it straight away and then upsell it from there.
Well, yeah. So I mean, the 20th Sonic Anniversary app is free. Technically, there's a free game in there, although it is like when it says Sketch Hog, it really does mean it's like a sketch. Yeah, it's free. You can check it out. It's not going to be very good, but yeah. Anyway, going on to things which caught my eye this week. Namco is going to publish a World War One fighting game by Revo Solutions called Sky Gamblers: Rise of Glory later this month. Now, the reason why this game stuck out to me was because, first of all, the title. Get rid of the Sky Gamblers part. Rise of Glory. I remember reviewing a game called Rise of Glory. It's set in World War One, dogfighting by Revo Solutions, which is based on Skies of Glory, which is on the iPhone. And looking at this one, this looks like exactly the same. It looks like the same game exactly. I mean, like the stages look the same as well. There's the same planes, obviously. 12 missions. I mean, there was 12 missions in Rise of Glory. It's like, so yeah, I'm sort of sat here thinking, what's different?
But it kind of, does it look there? Okay.
Yeah, it's got almost the same sort of, I don't know if there were Zeppelins in there. I'm sure there were, actually. Not sure.
But the whole point of the Rise of Glory was it a multiplayer game, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Skies of Glory, yeah. Rise of Glory, it didn't have any multiplayer because it was Windows Phone, which was pretty hilarious. Yeah, it had a full campaign, though, as well.
Yeah, but it was published by SGN, wasn't it? Mm. Who kind of went a little bit bust and then got bought by someone. So it may be just, yeah, one of those kind of games you're hanging around that's really good that isn't being worked on anymore, and then Namco bought it.
Yeah, I got a suspicion this is going to be a re-release. It doesn't say anywhere on the press release, if I remember rightly, but I've got a sneaky suspicion. I haven't seen enough of it to make me sure it's actually a sequel. So if you are a fan of Skies of Glory, I'd be a little bit wary until the release. But anyway, it's being released sometime this month as a universal app. Right, on moving on. Oh, here's a story game. Grand Prix Story. I don't know why I said that. Is it Skies of Glory, Rise of Glory, Grand Prix Story? It sort of rhymes. Grand Prix Story is out now. Well, it's not out now because we're recording on Wednesday, but it's going to be out when you listen to this on Thursday. all Friday. Anyway, Grand Prix Story has been on the Android marketplace for a month or two now. It is one of Kairosoft's management games, which means it's going to be annoyingly addictive. Lovely little pixel art graphics, and will feature people saying "I see" in speech bubbles, which I think is awesome. I see. No doubt you'll research stuff. Well, you do, actually. I know this. You research bits of your car and you train up your drivers. You get to see them all racing around, which is a bit more interactivity than the normal sort of, you know, seeing bars fill up and people saying, I see. But yes, and yeah, well, you know the score. You're going to get it. it's gonna take over your life for at least a week, and then you're gonna completely blitz it. Yeah, so there we go. Grand Prix Story out now for $1.99 or $299. That's it for the news.
Well, there's all the releases, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, new releases. Let's go to the new releases roundabout of news releases. This week on the new releases, we're dropping Rivals in Dragon Pass. Right, yes, so here we are on the roundabout. I'm going to put some street noise in this week. So you really, really get the feeling we're standing on a roundabout. So yeah, over there we can see the lovely statue dedicated to the man with the one arm. And oh, here we go. It's the Bus of Games. And first up on the side of the Bus of Games is King of Dragon Pass, award-winning Mac and PC indie title. It's completely redesigned for touchscreen interface, with new scenes, new treasures, and game center achievements. It's interactive story, essentially, but it's also got resource management aspects to it. It looks kind of a bit dull, actually. I've heard good things about this game, though. It has actually won some pretty prestigious indie awards, yeah. But it doesn't look like my kind of game. I don't know what it is about reading a lot of text. It's got to either be really well written on games. This is. I don't mind reading books, but
it's just the whole thing. Even with like cutscenes, isn't it? On iOS games, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, the backstory is not. It's not going to matter. If it matters, I'm going to find out in the thing, you know, in the actual game. If it's just like, oh, you know, skip. I mean,
well, this is more interactive thing, so you get choices. It's proper sort of old school.
Yeah,
RPGs,
but even that is kind of like that. Yeah, I mean, I think the days of those things are long gone, aren't they? Really.
Yeah, that's my problem. I just don't think they're living that engaging there. But anyway, there's a resource management aspect to it as well. But all the screenshots I've seen of it so far have been just like just text. Mm. But I've heard good things from a rival site, but I wouldn't trust that.
Yeah, it's one of those games that it's a problem. It's like sometimes because we play a lot of games as journalists, it's one of the games that kind of I think a certain proportion of journalists will go, oh, this is amazing, this is like rah, rah. And actually the general public and even other journalists will just go, this is just like so kind of obscure. I mean, it's just, you know, so in its niche. That would be my gut take on it, to be honest.
Yeah, I rate
that's my view.
What was it, Aradon, the Dark Black Fortress, or Dark Fortress, can't remember. I played that for hours and it was all right. I gave it a six in the end, I think. But
you're one of these people with fairly, I mean, obscure tastes. Not obscure.
Well, no, I gave that one a six, but everyone else who's played it, who reviewed it anyway, has given it like 8 or 9. Mm. But I'm sort of sat there thinking, you've got to be really generous to give that game an 8 or a 9. I mean, it's one of those games. It's probably going to be like this one. This is why springs to mind. It's one of those games with a decent story, but feels old. Yeah. Like it's about made 20 years ago. And I know that might appeal to quite a lot of, well, some people, but you want a bit more advanced. You want to have a game which may call back to the elements of old, but doesn't feel like an old game. If you get what I mean. But anyway, going on to new games, Gumdrop! ! Woohoo! I played this, so I can actually talk about it.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Is a it's a really basic memory game.
Okay.
Where you get told like ice cream, and you have to tap the ice cream. But having said that, it's quite fun. I quite enjoyed it. It's not going to set anything on fire. Literally, it won't. It just won't set anything on fire. But the way that the game builds up the tension by expanding these jelly, well, gum drops, I guess, at the side of the screen when they've got the words in is quite cool. Also, I think it's actually quite a stealthy way of learning a language because it has about 12 languages included in the game. And, of course, all you're doing is, like, reading text and then tapping the right item. So, and sometimes it gets quite complicated near the end when you're against time and also there's quite a lot of items on screen. So I can imagine it being quite a good little vocabulary learning tool, although there's only 100 unique objects. So I don't know how useful it would be. But if you want to know the Japanese for Apple, then you're going to have a great time. I suspect a lot of the listeners probably won't get it.
Okay,
but it does what it sets out to do well, but I don't think it sets out to do much. Anyway, moving on. NFL Rivals. Natural Motion.
Yes.
Is it just Batbreak with a proper license?
No. Well, okay, that's.
I thought it was natural.
Shall I say? No, is it? And obviously the gameplay is Backbreaker because that's kind of it was American football game, but they would argue that they've added the license in such a way that it's a continual playing experience because you basically support a team and they kind of use the statistics they get from the game to run a leaderboard of which actual NFL teams are winning during
you're right. So, I thought it was going to be a proper.
They say it's not a reskin of Backbreaker. What they mean is it is a reskin of Backbreaker, but with all this massive social stuff, you know, added onto it. So the gameplay that you play is not what you're playing it for.
I thought it was going to be a proper NFL game. I'm a little bit disappointed now, to be honest.
No.
I thought because they tried doing an NFL game, this Natural Motion themselves, in on the consoles.
Yep.
But that wasn't too successful.
Well, they had a problem. Yeah, they had some bugs in the original launch, didn't they? So.
No, and they got harsh competition. Because now would be an ideal time for someone to step up, not to the plate. That's the wrong game. But, you know, step up off the bench and put in a 90-yard return. Because Madden 12 has dropped the ball and he's asking for a turnover.
But it's still the case that Madden that brand is so big in this space that you really have to be committed. You know, you have to basically say we're going to spend 5 years and however many million dollars to really go after them. And the problem is the American football market is, some people are doing that in soccer, obviously, football, because it's a global market, whereas American football is just, you know, it's such a limited market that I think they're very sensible to go, American football's really popular, but how can, you know, because I wouldn't play Madden, but I quite like Backbreaker, you know, so I can kind of see it's a sensible kind of mix-up of business models and...
Yeah, I can see that, but they make it. I mean, Madden's one of EA's biggest earners on consoles, and I mean, the franchise. Isn't there at least some competition there? But I mean, anyway, sorry. Anyway, I'm going ahead. We should be on the new releases, really.
This is new releases, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but we should go back onto the new releases. I've still got a few more to go through.
I think NFL Rivals is the biggest new release of the week, isn't it? I would say.
Well, I'm having a look at the next one. That one looks rubbish. that one looks terrible.
That looks rubbish. Snood Free. That's a Snood. But Snood's quite a... Snood's really famous, isn't it? American game. It's an EA game. No, I don't know why it's famous, but...
Yeah. That one's not very good.
Match 3.
No. Oh, yeah, no, the other one, the big one. Well, big one in a certain audience. Let me pronounce this correctly. Machinarium. Machinarium. There we go. iPad 2 only, so it's not going to be very popular on iOS, I guess.
Which is weird, because this is like 2 years ago, I was talking to a publisher who was looking to kind of license it for iOS, and that was before iPad was announced. So
I haven't played it yet.
Quite strange. It's so demanding on the system specs.
Yeah. I mean, Mark loves it. Well, they love the original anyway. So he's been looking forward to this. I think Mike has as well, because it's...
It's a massive indie game. I mean, again, it's kind of quite quirky art style, isn't it? So I'm not quite sure if it helped.
The point and click itself. What I've heard from people who aren't like massively into the weird quirky graphics is that the actual adventure itself's not the best.
Mm.
But I guess, you know, one of those things. Again, it's the nice graphics. Well, I've got to play it first before I make any decision like that. Anyway, another one that is interesting. Actually, that one looks quite good. I'll go with this one first. Tofu 2, the sequel to Tofu: The Trials of Chi.
I can say that one didn't come out that long ago either, did it?
No, it didn't. It came out in. Let me just check.
A couple months ago, wasn't it? March or something.
May.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
turn that around.
Yeah, it's like they must have done that in 3 months. Wow. The original got a bronze award. It made a few missteps along the way. It wasn't the fact it was a badly designed game. It was just certain issues, the movement. So maybe they'll be able to fix them up for this one. Yeah, I mean, it looks great, just like the original did. Should be one to look out for. What else is out this week? No, just missed that. Chillingo, hello. Chillingo's got a release out, I know. Whoa, easy. Anyone? It's like, wow. Yeah, well, only one we've mentioned. Maybe they've got another. No, we've got two. Oh, bloody hell. Gumdrops is Chillingo as well, so we've already actually said one. Anyway, let's pretend we haven't. So, yes, the Chillingo game this week is Race Illegal High Speed 3D, which sounds like one of those mistranslated game titles.
it
probably is, yeah. I mean, the graphics look good on the little trailer here. You got fast cars. Ooh, your car is your expression. My expression is happy, so I've got a yellow car. There's 20 tracks. There's high octane, adrenaline pumping, street racing. It's like their version of Asphalt / Burnout / Need for Speed Underground. Yeah. It's got takedowns, which are probably not called takedowns. It's called something else.
Crashdowns.
Because Chillingo are owned by EA now. They're almost walking on their patch with this.
Well, hardly. A racing game. Yeah, right.
Anyway, I think I'll reserve judgment. Obviously, I haven't played it yet. But the fact that they didn't preview that with the other games they were previewing to me before is a little bit suspicious, but never mind. So final one of this week. It doesn't look very good. No, I haven't mentioned it. It just doesn't look very good. You can tell which ones I mean when you go and type in new releases on the search. Oh no, midweek, that's with a hyphen, iOS releases. You'll get all the latest, or you could just type in the App Store. Because it still technically is the App Store. We just don't call it that anymore. Not after the accident where the App Store
was left. It's weird. Those beaks would be so sharp. You would have thought they would have fouled it off when taking babies around.
It's not going to be bringing any babies around anytime soon. Right, let's move on. Let's go. Let us go to the What We've Been Playing fields.
Who's going to go first?
Oh, thank you, John. So, yeah, I haven't actually been playing much because I was away for a week. I don't think I mentioned that. I was on holiday.
Well, no, I'm going to go on holiday and then everyone's going to be blooming annoyed.
Trisha and Chlamydia were amazing, by the way. Absolutely amazing. Hector, episode 2. I was playing that, though. Strad Looper's follow-up. It took them almost a year and had a new publisher to produce this, which is something that's joked at straight away in the tutorial, which pretty much opens the tone for the entire game, basically. I thought it was good. It basically, I'm fairly certain their tips page is written to have a dig at John. But
really,
if you put on the hits, it sort of just constantly mocks you for the first page for going, oh, you're not even 10 minutes in and you're already looking at the hints. But it's got a full walkthrough now. So if you
the criticism hurt then, didn't it? They knew I was right.
Yeah, I think it went straight to their core. They went, right, how are we going to get right, lads? It's literally staffed by Hector. Yeah, so there's a full walkthrough this time. So they're obviously looking out and had you in their sights, but instead they got me reviewing it. Yeah, I thought it was very good. There are certain duff jokes, as you would get, but I thought in general there was most of the jokes hit the mark.
Because I guess there's the other thing. It is a seemed to be like a. I mean, not English humour is kind of wrong. I mean, not English or Irish, but you know, it did seem quite a what we could consider a British humour. So like, I wondered how well that would kind of work globally, really.
Yeah, I wonder that as well.
It's not really. It's not really a.
It's quite in your face.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really Monkey Island kind of humour, is it?
No, but Monkey Island humour is either. It's except for Monkey Island 3, which is brilliant. It was always like a little bit of a sly smile more than anything else. But yeah, this one tries to go for the juggler and it misses quite a few times. But at the same time, there's quite a few moments which are just really well done. There's a bit like where you're, because I don't want to spoil too much of the game, but you're quite early on when you're playing as the rather ineffective Lambert and you open up a boot and there's a guy tied up and gagged. And he goes through, and you get the choice to go through the whole, you know, motions of asking like what's wrong, and you know, just drilling him about information about how did he get into this. But you could go on for ages, and with him genuinely like sounding like he's getting more and more annoyed. It's good. That sort of humor is quite good. That's the Monkey Island side. The other side is you fill a toilet with poo and hairspray, and then light it to create a pipe bomb. You know, it is a bit disgusting, but the puzzles, I wouldn't say they've got like better in terms of weirdness, but the fact that you've got hints and a walkthrough now sort of alleviates that.
Yeah.
I'd say one thing I would like to see for the next episode, because I think it's on the right track now, I think. But I would like to see the controls changed a little bit, because I played the first one on the PC and it wasn't so much a problem. But there's no way of knowing if any of these items in the screen are usable or interactable. Like, because I was actually stuck for quite a bit at the start of the game. Because I didn't realize you could take the door off its hinges, because I thought it was just a background image, because I'd already opened the door. So I was like, oh, okay, that door is now open. It didn't occur to me that I could then pull it again. Because you have to tap once to examine, tap twice quickly to pick up. And that's also annoying, because if you try and tap twice quickly to pick up something you can't pick up, he'll give you that phrase. It's like, oh, I can't pick that up. And it's like, oh, damn it. I didn't mean to do that. Try and skip it by press tapping, which doesn't work. And then you'll get like him saying, oh, look at that. It's a failure. It's like, no, wait, no. Go back. No, I don't want to tap it. Don't tap it. Just leave him. Just let him speak. And it's kind of annoying that.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun, though. Yep. You don't need to have played the first game to know what's going on. It gives you a nice little recap animation. So, yeah, if you haven't played it before, I'd pick it up. It's good. The other game I played was Contra Draw. That's my impression of the music. Yeah, I was a bit of a Scrooge, apparently. I looked around the rest of the internet and I was amazed. Gave it a 7 out of 10, which is still a pretty decent score, to be fair. It is a puzzle game, a reaction-based puzzle game, which draws elements from Bumpy Road, Angry Birds, and mainly Cut the Rope. In fact, to be fair, after the first 10 levels, it's pretty much all Cut the Rope. You play a little black blob. It's apparently called Petit. It's probably said in the introduction, but... I don't remember seeing that. That's Rob's edition. Based, obviously, by the Petty Prince, which has absolutely no relevance to the game at all. I'm not even sure why Chilingo told me that information. But anyway, yes. And you've got to get to a blue shining light. Pick up 3 stars. I mean, 3 lights on each level, and then you'll score the most. And that's it, really. The interesting bit is navigation is done via either moving up the ground around them, so that he rolls down or stops, and dragging eyeballs and attaching tentacles to the guy, which then flings him around, and then you tap the eye again to release him. It's like Cut the Rope. You probably play that game. Anyway, the bumpy road aspect, i.e. the moving of the ground, that goes away from the game after about level 5, so you'll never really need to use it ever again. By the end, it's just Cut the Rope again. It's got very nice graphics, though. It looks a bit like Limbo, which I didn't think actually was that amazing after a while. And the same is true of Country Draw. By the third world, you're kind of getting a bit like, all right.
I didn't actually. You're saying you were kind of a hard marker, but it didn't review that well. It wasn't a game that. I mean, it got, when I've just checked on the quality index, it got like some eights, but they were from sites that you might expect to give it like maximums or nines. So I think maybe there was a skepticism about
it. I was a bad person. I went on Metacritic to check the scores, and it said like 6 positive reviews, 1 mixed, and that 1 mixed was me.
Yeah, but that would be like a, you know, yeah, because that's the
borderline. Well, people keep coming up to me.
Borderline between that is 6 and 7, isn't it? 7 and 8. So
people keep coming up to me randomly and saying it. It's brilliant as well. Like, I was at Square Enix the other day, and one of their guys went like, "Oh yeah, you play Contra Draw? It's a great game." I was like, "Yeah, no, it's not actually that great."
But I think that's probably because a lot of people because it looks so remarkable that you kind of people play it who haven't played necessarily like other games in that. Kind of, I mean, they might probably cut the rope, but you know, they kind of, it seems better than it is because you can't see that there's been like 10 games of 2 of which might be better. You know, I mean, that's just partly on iOS, there's just so many games coming out that are kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And people will enjoy that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, I've had, yeah, exactly. Kind of people go, "Oh, have you played this game? It's just basically a physics trajectory game." And you're kind of like, well, it's nice, but it's like about 20 of them out there at the moment.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I played it about 50 times. Find me something new. That's what you say, John. I've heard you. And then they run away crying as well.
That's a funny accent as if I'm from East London or something.
Well, actually, it's funny you should say all that because I'm from East London. No, because basically I said in the review itself, it's sure to appeal to newcomers or occasional iPhone gamers.
Exactly.
There we go. Yeah. So, yes. Contra Draw. Oh, but I'd say actually the graphics are nice and all, but I think the music betters the graphics a lot by quite a way.
Okay.
The music's very good. Mm. Oh, I've got the Edge Extended iPhone video game review on my review. That's a bit odd. Anyway, yes. So 7 out of 10.
Mm.
It's all right. Not amazing. John Jordan.
Yes. Well, because Keith's been on holiday. And I've had to do all his work and my work. I've not been playing many games either. It's a constant refrain. But a few things. I mean, not so much I've been playing it because it's Doodle Jump. But Doodle Jump came out for the iPad in a...
That didn't take very long.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because... I know Igor, one of the brothers behind Doodle Jump. And I think it was 2 years ago... getting on for 2 years ago probably, where he showed me like the first sketches he had for all kind of like, you know, mock-ups for what he thought the iPad version of Doodle Jump could be, and it's actually quite interesting because Eagle's quite a thoughtful kind of chap. So he was thinking of having it so you held your iPad in a landscape mode instead of a portrait mode. So basically you hold it so that horizontally it's longer rather than normally, obviously with Doodle Jump, you hold it so you're jumping up the screen and that's the longest bit of the screen. So he had these quite wacky ideas about how he, you know, he's like saying, well, it would be the same kind of gameplay, but it would have new elements because you have all this extra width to do stuff. And obviously that's all gone by the wayside in the intervening year and a half or however. So basically it is Doodle Jump for the iPad. So I've been kind of been playing, I have to confess, I've not really played Doodle Jump a lot over the last couple of years, but it's been interesting to like play them, obviously to find out I'm terrible at both of them. But I kind of, I mean, I'm playing on an original iPad, so the weight, if you're going to play it for prolonged periods of time, that would be like just a little bit too heavy compared to an iPod Touch or an iPhone. But I imagine with an iPad 2, it's kind of... The extra size is not. I think it could be a personal kind of preference, but I kind of found it quite enjoyable, more enjoyable than I kind of thought. Knowing it was just been, I'm sure again a straight clone is the wrong thing to say. So Doodle Jump on iPad
can't be a clone, surely.
Well, not a clone. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Yeah, so a
straight port.
A straight port. I mean, there is. Yeah, it comes with all the themes that you get on the iPhone version, and there's a slightly different background for the multiplayer stuff. But it is effectively Doodle Jump for iPad, which is in fact its name. There's another game I've been playing a little bit of. I've not been reviewing it, but a review will be going live this week. Is Crimson Steam Pirates, which is the first game to be published by Bungie.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of quick. It's a little bit, not a little bit strange, but they've got this kind of, I guess it's like a publishing arm called Bungie Aerospace. It's interesting. That's not so strange. I mean, it's kind of a bit weird that you kind of think, okay, everyone knows Bungie, one of the best developers in the world from the Halo series, and then they're doing their new things now. But they've not released anything on iPhone themselves, and you kind of think it's kind of slightly strange that they're taking a publishing role, and they've not really, I guess there's an argument about what publishers do, and publishers kind of do marketing and do get kind of PR and stuff. So I guess this game has got more PR because it's the first one they've published, but I don't really know necessarily why Bungie have been involved in it. Anyway, the developer's quite interesting in that it's they're called Harebrained Schemes, but the guy behind it is Jordan Weissman, who's a veteran of games, and back in the day had a studio called Fassa, which did all the MechWarrior games, and he's done loads of other games and billions of different interesting things.
I know the MechWarrior games.
Yeah.
I know the board game.
Well, he actually has done board games as well. I mean, I don't know if he did the MechWarrior one. But anyway, Crimson Steam Pirates is a top-down, turn-based kind of Pirates of the Caribbean type thing where you're kind of running these pirate ships. And it's actually very tactile that you have these, you're looking down on these ships and you kind of pull out a direction kind of line from them to say where you want to go in that turn. And then you can kind of, depending on the ship type and the crew you have on board, you can kind of have different, effectively kind of skills. So you might have one that might kind of, go extra speed for a turn, so you get a longer line to pull out, or you might have
That sounds awfully like a sort of a little bit like Pirates mixed with Squids, in fact. Only Squids, you pick them.
Yeah. I mean, basically, because this is turn-based, so
yeah, that's turn-based as well.
Okay.
But you ping rather than draw.
But it's not. I mean, it's much more controlled, obviously. The other nice thing is the way it kind of. I mean, it's a very light use of kind of cards, but each card, each person. It's a character, but equally it's a skill, so it might be like the gunnery mate who's called Bob. I mean, he's not called Bob, he's called something else. Or the engine man. And then you also get this kind of dynamic where you kind of go alongside another boat and board it, and then you kind of have these kind of battles where you kind of use your cards as kind of boarding party cards, and it's like a bit of a turn-based... You basically say you have three attacks... or three defenses if you're being boarded, I suppose, and you lay down your cards and you can kind of see how many cards the enemy's laying down, but not obviously what their value is, and then it kind of plays out to see who can take over the other ship. So there's a few interesting kind of dynamics going in there. The other thing really great thing about it is the presentation, which is absolutely amazing. And they've got this huge backstory about Captain Blood and all this kind of stuff, backstabbing going on, but they've shot all this photography of people in kind of, they're not actors because they're not acting, but kind of models in these kind of costumes, 18th century costumes and cutlasses and all this kind of, so it's very, very well put together. And I guess the most interesting thing about it is it's free, or it's a chapter based thing, so you download the app for free, you play the first chapter, which isn't particularly long, and then they're obviously going to upsell you on chapter two, which is available now, and chapter three, which is coming soon.
That sounds pretty good.
I wouldn't say it's for everyone, because it is a little bit slow, and some of it's a little bit clunky in terms of the movement, but it's free, so you can decide you like it. And I kind of thought, I'll just see what it's like being Bungie's first published game, and I actually kind of played it a little bit more than I thought I would. And another one that I've kind of been coming back to, it came out, I think, about a month ago. It's a game called Fractal, which is from Cypher Prime, who are the guys behind music games like Pulse. This was actually their first game, which is actually a PC game that they released when they were, they're fairly young students or graduates now, I guess, in their mid-20s, but this was their first game they did on PC, and now they've kind of revisited it for iPad. And it's just a kind of a it's kind of a you're placing, it's hard to explain. you're basically creating shapes on a hexagonal kind of grid, and you're kind of laying them down in certain ways to push them around to create these shapes, which could be in different colors and stuff. And it's again, I mean, they're really an interesting developer. I think they're kind of quite thoughtful in the way they make their games, and their games are very kind of cleanly presented and very focused on music, often as part of the gameplay, but it's, you know, it's very integral to it. And they're just, for a very small team, I think there's like maybe two, maybe three of them now, they're really, you know, someone who's kind of really hit the ground running. They've done three games now. I don't think any of them have sold particularly well, but just they're all really, you know, very honed, and they really know what they're doing. So it's a game you kind of play levels. You don't really, you know, it's the kind of thing you can dip into and dip out of, and you know, when you've got a spare 10 minutes. That's what I've been doing while I've not been on holiday, while I've been doing Keith's work.
I'll tell you another game that just sprung to my head that I'm now downloading now. Draw Race 2, because I played at a preview event. Obviously, I can't say my entire feelings. Well, I was very positive, actually, on my preview of Draw Race 2. I thought it was going to be a superb game, and sure enough, it was. It is. We gave it a 9 out of 10. I've just bought it, actually, now. Nice. But yes, it's very good from what I played of it. So get that. It's great. Red Link's behind it.
Although, interestingly, as happened with the first one, which sold quite well everywhere apart from America, pretty much happened exactly the same this time around. I think it sold obviously a lot better because it's got Chininga behind it now. But it doesn't seem to have caught the imagination of the Americans.
Why?
Because maybe they like direct control for their racing cars. If they've got to race it, they want to see a steering wheel.
Anyway, Draw Race 2, that's good. And that is it. Well, that's not all. Well, that's not it. We've got the advert to do. It's for Nightly Night, because you haven't heard it yet, John, have you?
I haven't
heard it. I'll be inserting.
Nightly Night.
Yeah, Nightly Night.
That's the jousting game.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That came out a while ago.
Yeah, I know, but the business guys, they were in their suits and ties, and they were
suits again.
They were selling the. I could have rhymed a very obvious word there, but I'm not. I'm going to say pies. Ages ago, there was quite a few people went forward wanting an advert. So crazy. Anyway,
well, they're another Northern Irish developer. So it's...
They're Northern Irish. I knew they're British.
Maybe they're not Northern Irish.
For English.
They might be English. Yeah, I'm lying.
So yes, get ready for an advert which sounds almost the same as the first one, only there's a slight edit in the middle. I hope you enjoy it. I think actually we should come back to us before it's over.
Ah, the Middle Ages. Harking back to yore. A time of honor, chivalry, and brutal gladiatorial combat. Compete for honor and glory in the old tournament upon thy trusted steed. Smite thine enemy, wielding a most fulsome range of period and somewhat historically inaccurate, but greatly amusing contemporary armaments.
Seek out Nighty Knight with the App Store.
Wrought by Billy Goat Entertainment. Bequeath not for ye sheepish.
Yeah, so, so there we go. That's the final advert. Not sure that was really worth coming back to us now. Now I'm going to think of it. Anyway, I've been Will Wilson.
They are. They're Northern Irish.
Are they Northern Irish?
Northern Irish. Billy Goat Studios. Yeah.
Well, I never. Well, blow me down and call me Trevor.
99. Yeah. That's quite a comic. It has quite a lot of comic kind of elements into it as well.
It does. It has quite a comic advert, as our listeners will have no doubt found out.
These Northern Irish studios.
They've got a lot of comedy behind them.
Jolly chaps, aren't they?
Oh, dear. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us this week. I apologise about last week's podcast. I was phoned on the beach. Cynthia handed me my red telephone, and I heard from HQ that John had just gone berserk on the sound recording. He's shooting down frequencies like you won't believe, Will! They shouted through the phone, "You gotta come down here!" I was like, "Chill, boss. Next week, we'll be back to normal."
Should we tell them the truth? No.
What do you mean the truth? That is the truth. You can't handle the truth, John. Keep believing this wasn't about me on a beach.
It sounded fine to me. It's all. Unless my ears are strange.
Your ears are very strange.
Okay. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, he's very sorry, listeners.
It was a good one as well. We had a whale of a time.
Oh, I didn't know. I couldn't get past the first 5 minutes. Sorry, now I'm just driving this like a stake through a heart. Sorry, John. Yes, but anyway, we're very glad that you've joined us tonight. And we hope you sleep well and don't have nightmares. From us, goodbye. Goodbye. What was that? That wasn't a goodbye.
And nightmares. Get on about.
Don't know. I lost it.
Yeah.
I lost it, mate. I lost it right near the end. I just lost it. Just went. Absolutely. 1 minute I was here, and next minute I was gone.